I'm Mark Adamanis. I'm a contributor at Forbes and a columnist for InnoSME, and I'm guest hosting Worldwise this morning. I'm speaking with Wojciech Borodzic from the Center for International Relations in Warsaw. Morning, Wojciech. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. We have an extremely hot summer, and it's hard to live in the city, but still, it's a great opportunity to talk with you and to share with you my views on.
It's been pretty similar in D.C., unfortunately. We've been, even by D.C. standards, it's been pretty sweltering. So yeah, I just wanted to speak. So obviously Mitt Romney was recently in Poland. He was there as part of his first major tour as the GOP nominee. And I found it interesting because I write about Russia most of the time. But obviously Poland and the other Central Eastern European countries factor into American discussions about our policy vis-a-vis Russia. The GOP and the Republican Party has been very antagonistic towards the policies of the reset, towards Obama's supposed appeasement of the Russians, and Romney hit a lot of these same themes in his speeches and in his tour when he was over there. So I guess I wanted to start with asking how Poles received Romney. Obviously, there's been a narrative here, particularly in certain parts of the conservative media, over how well Romney was received and how well his speech supposedly went over. But I wanted to ask you, to what extent is that true? How did Poles see the visit? To what extent did he even pay attention to it?
Well, yeah, the media definitely shared this great opportunity of having Mitt Romney and interviewing him or asking his question or hearing what he has to say. But nobody in Poland expected that this visit will change something dramatically in Polish-US relations. And everyone in Poland knows that the things which Romney is saying at the moment are the things which he is saying in the election campaign. What will become after campaign, if he will be a president of the United States, is a completely different story. And Polish media definitely noticed that thanks to this visit, Poland is again on the highlights of the US media, which is not happening often. And that is good. Thanks to Romney, we had a great PR campaign, but we don't expect this visit will change dramatically Polish-US relations.
And I guess to maybe dig a little more deeply in terms of Polish-US relations, obviously some of the Republicans presented Romney's, the reason that he should go to Poland was because Obama has treated Poland so poorly. There's a whole discussion about how we've forgotten our loyal allies and abandoned the Poles at the foot of the reset. I guess let's talk a little bit more about how Polish opinion views Obama's foreign policy, because certainly I remember seeing some polls and some indications that Obama was reasonably popular in Poland, maybe not overwhelmingly so, but he certainly wasn't any kind of hate figure. But again, in the Republican and U.S. conservative narrative, Obama is or ought to be, you know, just absolutely completely unpopular, and the kind of positions that Romney was attempting to stake out would presumably be much more popular and more well-received by the Polish public. To what extent is that really true?
Well, you know, Obama has been popular in Poland, especially during his election campaign. Firstly, because of his famous slogan, "Yes, we can." But then we were extremely interested in how the Mr. Obama can change United States and to what extent his personal life can influence the U.S. policy. And we, of course, were so much interested in Obama because this is the first Afro-American who is the President of the United States, so that also was a kind of historic moment. And of course, we knew this, his presidency will be unique, and we wanted to have some changes after the Bush Jr. presidency, but we had we have extremely big expectations. However, those expectations has been built on some, let's say, maybe fake, maybe over-exaggerated feelings of Poles towards Americans. We always tend to think that U.S. foreign policy and U.S. itself is ready to bend its own national interest. However, it happens, and it happens all the time, that, as we see, this is not the United States is bending its own national interest, but their allies who wants to be together with the States or not.
Well, I guess Obama, to a certain extent, to kind of draw some contrasts between, I guess, his policies and what Romney's might or might not be, is there anything, I guess, concrete or specific that there's agreement on that, you know, polls would have liked to seen from Obama's policy, both towards Poland itself and towards, I guess, the general Central and Eastern Europe that they haven't seen? Because, again, you know, you hear an awful lot in conservative media and from various kinds of GOP representatives that, oh, you know, what Obama's done hasn't been well received and they want us to do something else. So are there any kind of concrete disappointments that you thought Obama would do X and he did Y, or he just, you know, didn't follow through on his promises?
Well, of course, we were surprised with the decisions of Obama regarding missile defense system, and we felt a little bit, I don't think it traded, let's say discouraged with future cooperation. However, we have to we need to understand that probably each and every president of the United States would try to solve his bigger problem and not the smaller ones. And actually, in this terms, Iran was the bigger problem, and the bigger deal was to make some agreement with Russia than with Poles and with other countries in the Central Eastern Europe, and that those countries could be agreed in some other way, like for example selling some new technique or new weapons or at least pumping some giving some money for other facilities.
So do you think that, obviously, Romney has been incredibly critical of the reset, and his, if you look at his campaign website, you look at his promises, he pretty explicitly says that he'll scrap it. He will kind of revert to essentially the kind of George W. Bush-style confrontation of the Kremlin, you know, no unapologetic promotion of democracy and such like that. Do you think that kind of policy shift would be well received in Poland? Do you think that would actually be a wise thing to do? Again, Romney's been very, very specific and explicit that, you know, the minute he gets into the White House, if he does, that, you know, the reset's over, and that is kind of, I don't know, back to a bad cop type of relationship with Russia. Do you think that Poles support that? Do you think that would actually be in Poland's interest to have a renewed or worsened antagonism between the U.S. and Russia?
Well, I think that Mitt Romney's website is definitely not concrete and not full of details. And if we want to if we as a people who are living in the Central and Eastern Europe would like to build something on Mitt Romney's addresses, and after visiting the website of Mitt Romney's, then we would totally understand that Central and Eastern Europe is not important for Mitt Romney, because there is actually no word about Central and Eastern Europe. There are words about Israel, about Russia, Iran, but no about this concrete region. This is one thing. The second thing is that, in my view, when Mitt Romney will get to the White House and will sit in the chair, he will definitely have a lot of other things to do, and will have to deal with the situation as it is and not as he would like to be. The problem with those sentences and addresses which Romney makes towards Russia, by saying that Russia is number one threat and so on, and he wants to build a deeper cooperation with Central Asian countries, like Kazakhstan, maybe, are unrealistic. Those countries are even more not democratic than Russia, and Russia is not the biggest threat in the region at the moment. At the moment, the biggest threat in the region are probably China and probably the unstabilized the social situation in Russia itself. And how Mitt Romney is willing to work with Russia. I mean, he cannot simply say that he will not discuss anything with a nuclear country, and he will be simply waiting for the great change in this country when there is no visible opposition and no visible leader who can change the situation dramatically in Russia. So, Polish-Russian relations recently became less, less aimed at promoting democracy, but more aimed at promoting business and pragmatic values. We don't think that this kind of approach is realistic. I think this kind of approach is an approach which is aimed at the U.S. election campaign, and after elections it will be corrected by the reality.
So you would argue that it's all posturing, that there will be a fundamental continuity between a potential Romney administration and some of what the Obama folks have been doing?
Actually, I don't think that Mitt Romney will be able to bend national interest of the United States and to change national interest of the United States. And I think that each president of the United States, no matter if that will be Obama or Romney, will have the same problems and will have limited solutions to those problems. I mean, we cannot expect that the United States will, for example, support some underground movements in Russia, because that's impossible in this situation. That would mean that the United States will be soon in war with Russia, and that is not in the interest of the United States. So I think all what Romney said in Poland was not aimed at the Poles in Poland, but was aimed at the Polish Americans and U.S. society in the election campaign, and it was because they wanted to show that Mitt Romney has some international experience and is willing and is able to get, if not support, then a kind of good relations with leaders of the Central Eastern Europe. And Poland was good because it's a Catholic country. It's a country of Lech Wałęsa and his legend. This is country of the legend of John Paul II, and this is also the country which still can be described as a successful story of the transformation. And again, if someone wants to have a success from the US, he should come to the Poland, because anytime and everywhere Poles will be extremely positive for each US citizen who is willing to become president.
So I guess I was wondering if we could talk maybe just a little bit more about Wałęsa. Obviously, in certain parts of the U.S. Media, again, particularly among conservatives, Wałęsa is still extremely popular. He's very much still the kind of figure from the transition, from the solidarity struggle, the fight against the Soviet Union, and the kind of transition to democracy and capitalism. To what extent, and so his endorsement of Romney attracted a fair bit of attention over here. To what extent is Wałęsa still a very relevant political figure in Poland? Because I remember I have written some things about Poland, and I actually, as an undergrad, I wrote quite a long paper about some of the kind of transition from communism there, and I was actually surprised by how rapidly his political star kind of faded once he was in office. And that's, I guess, something that you see among a lot of the kind of old hero dissidents in that part of the world. I mean, Havel was extraordinarily popular in the United States, but he wasn't reasonably popular in the Czech Republic, but not nearly the kind of universal adulation that he would get in the United States. So I guess we could just talk a little bit more about, like, what meaning did Wałęsa's endorsement really have, and to what extent was it shared by most Poles themselves?
Well, firstly, it needs to be stressed that I don't think Wałęsa has officially endorsed Mitt Romney. That's how it was written in the U.S. press, but in reality, it was not like that. He simply said that he is hearing to all who are wishing to talk with Valença, and he's, he will not endorse anyone because that is not in the interest of Poland. What will happen if not Romney will win the elections and if that still would be Obama? So, I don't think this endorsement had place. However, Valença, as you mentioned, and as in other dissidents and leaders of this, of the communist times, is not appreciated by Poles as, for example, future president or as a politician. But still, he gained some respect from a lot of people. And this respect is that they simply want to hear what he has to say. He is saying with a very simple language, without any beautiful words, and his assessment of reality is extremely realistic, and because of that, it's very good.
All right, and I guess so. Still on, I guess, the general subject of kind of domestic Polish politics. If we could maybe talk a little bit more, because, you know, for example, we were speaking about the reset earlier, and obviously in American domestic politics, there are huge cleavages and huge disagreements, even among the elite policymakers, about whether that's the appropriate thing to do, is it right or is it wrong. To what extent is there agreement among, I guess, both the Polish public and among Polish kind of elite opinion makers of, you know, what a desirable relationship with the United States looks like? Is there actually any real disagreement over how, you know, the NATO alliance ought to work, how the kind of Atlantic, you know, security relationship functions, or is there relatively broad agreement on kind of the general outlines of how the U.S. and Poland interact?
Well, actually, in this particular issue in Poland, there is a general agreement about the presence of the United States in this part of Europe, about the activities of the United States in NATO. And we all afraid that the United States is simply willing to limit the role in NATO and in Europe itself, and we don't think that that would be good. However, we also understand some economic problems and strategic problems United States are facing. But nevertheless, all political powers in Poland are in favor of having a strong and reliable presence of the United States in Europe. We still think this is one of the guarantors of the security in this part of the world.
Do you think there would be support? So I know I remember I wrote something last week. I was very surprised. You know, Mitt Romney was talking about Poland's kind of economic experience, its government priorities as being very much in line with his own values. But then if you look at how the Polish government actually spends money to American eyes, it's almost unrecognizable. I mean, the defense budget's a much smaller percentage of government spending. Welfare spending is much, much higher. Do you think that should, you know, the United States, I don't know, come to some new agreement about the appropriate, I guess, balance of how much it spends versus how much its European allies spend, do you think that, I don't know, that would be popular in Poland? Because even I was surprised looking at some of the figures, you know, again, you know, in many American narratives of that part of the world, there's apparently a really serious threat that the Baltics and Poland and other countries are facing. I mean, a military threat. You describe it as, you know, kind of a renewed imperial Russia. But then you look at how much they actually spend on their militaries, and they don't appear to be particularly troubled by it because, you know, they spend, you know, 1.8% of GDP on defense. I mean, again, you know, in America we're spending multiples of that. So I guess we could talk maybe just a little bit about, you know, to what extent do Poles actually feel threatened by the environment that they're in, and to what extent would they be willing to pick up, you know, more of the slack in a very kind of concrete dollars and cents thing if, as seems likely, the United States will have to backtrack from the kind of position of complete dominance that it's played in the NATO alliance up to this point?
Well, I don't think we still define conflict in the way of military invasion from each of the sides. The conflicts in today's world are more economically based, and we think that we can face those conflicts only by making European Union stronger. But I think when Mitt Romney talked about the Polish economical miracle and about Poland as a green island of the United of the European Union, is was of course very nice and interesting. However, was not correct. I mean, there are completely different reasons why Poland became a green island in the European Union. Firstly, Poland is not a member of the Eurozone. We're still using our Polish currency, which is Polish złoty, which helps us in exporting goods to the western part of the European Union. Then we still have extremely good financial flows from the European funds, which enable us to build a lot of and invest a lot of in the infrastructure, which makes the country economy bigger. And again, this special situation of not being in the Eurozone and still using euros from the Eurofund helped us in making keeping the positive GDP growth. And going back to your question, well, you know, we are more afraid of economic, let's say that in brackets, invasion than of military invasion. I mean, we are afraid of having too many Russian investments, which are not purely business oriented, but in many cases they are politically oriented. And this is why we want to keep as bigger and as smart a European Union as it can be.
So I guess two kind of follow-up questions. What, if anything, can the United States, you know, meaningfully do? Because I think you accurately note that, you know, the conflicts or the dangers that that part of the world faces, they're not military in nature. It's not that Russia's going to send a bunch of tanks, you know, from Kaliningrad. It's, you know, as you say, it's that they'll, you know, kind of influence things via energy prices, via gas and oil and economic deals. What, if anything, can the United States do to assist Poland in meeting those challenges? Because it amazes me, frankly, how overwhelmingly focused many of the foreign policy debates in the United States, particularly during presidential elections, are. You know, they're focused on military threats that don't really seem to exist anymore, but they almost never mention these sorts of kind of economic, struggles or, you know, struggles for economic influence that seem to be the most important thing. So how can the U.S. help? Or do Poles expect it, you know, that they need to handle that within the confines of their relationship with the European Union? There's really not a whole lot that America can do.
Well, you know, the answer is very simple. I mean, we still expect that the economic presence of the United States in Poland and in this region will be bigger and bigger. This is why we welcomed so warmly U.S. companies willing to search the shale gas in Poland. This is why we cooperating with U.S. U.S. Big companies like Northrop Grumman or others, or Boeing, for example. So more economic presence, more U.S. companies investing in Poland, and that's basically the simplest receipt for the development of good relations and for the development of and limiting threats.
So going back, I guess, I know we were talking about the Eurozone and the Euro there for a second. Has there been, because, you know, I know in the Baltics, for example, you know, Estonia made some pretty dramatic sacrifices in order to kind of keep itself on the path for Euro membership. It's like it's since joined the Euro, but, you know, to get there, it had to do some pretty gnarly budget cuts and spending cuts and stuff like that. Has there been any disagreement on, you know, as the Eurozone has obviously had a pretty rough go of things over the past couple of years, has there been any kind of second thoughts among kind of the policymaking elite that, you know what, the European Union's great, but maybe you know, being out of the euro has served us pretty well. Maybe we really ought to not join it. Because, if you look at the countries that have weathered the kind of economic turbulence the best, Sweden, Poland, they have their own currencies. And it seems that, at least to me, I would think that some people have to have second thoughts by this point in time, seeing kind of what a mess things have become in the eurozone.
Well, from week to week, more people have second thoughts about that. The problem is that while signing the accession treaty to the European Union, we also agreed that we will join the Eurozone. However, we did not set the deadline, and still it is up to us to choose the right date to join the Eurozone. Till the moment of the economic crisis which occurred in Europe, most of the Polish politicians were backing this idea of joining the euro as soon as possible and as fast as possible. But today, more and more the same politicians is recognizing that actually, thanks to not making this decision and not being in the eurozone, we still can have a positive GDP growth, and we still can enjoy the good and relatively better economy than other countries in the eurozone. However, joining the euro has its own pluses, and we need to also to have that in mind. And then I'm sure that our government is still thinking about joining the euro, but not now. And this issue will be raised after the crisis ends, and we'll know what is our budget structure, and whether we still are on the track to fulfill the Maastricht criteria or not.
Great. So I guess jumping back to something we talked about earlier, and kind of a little bit off topic of the eurozone. Back, I guess, to missile defense. So, in the United States, particularly during the campaign, you hear conservatives, Romney himself, note how, I guess, accurately that Obama canceled missile defense in Poland. But what they almost never mention is that we are currently pursuing missile defense in Romania, which is not that far away. How do Poles actually view the issue? Because the U.S. is actually building missile defense in Eastern Europe, which is nominally targeted at an Iranian threat, the severity of which, I guess, is open to some debate. But, again, in the States, the conversation usually stops at, oh, Obama pulled missile defense out of Poland. But it never then kind of follows up that actually, they started doing it again relatively soon afterwards, and that's still remained a major irritant with the Russians. But how do Poles see that? I mean, do you view that system that's being built in Romania, which seems to be on schedule, as responding to the threat that the earlier missile system, the one that was canceled, was meant to address?
It's a question from the environment of political questions, not security questions, I think. Mainly because that even the missile defense system that the United States wanted to build in Poland was not exactly to secure Europe and Poland, but to secure the United States. The problem we have with the missile defense system is that we always wanted to have this system as a part of a bigger NATO defense system. And this is actually, that was actually the clue of the whole concept. Of course, in Poland, in the very beginning, when Mr. Bush offered this kind of investment, we were extremely we welcomed this warmly, and we wanted to build this because we thought this will change the security situation in this region, and especially will show to our eastern partners, to our eastern colleagues from Russia and Belarus, that we are still, and we are keeping our independence, and we are still thinking about making our ties with the United States stronger and stronger. at the moment, we are not talking about missile defense anymore. And even Polish president recently suggested that it would be good to build our own missile defense system. And probably we will do it after some years. But now I don't think this is the most important question of the Polish security. Now we are enjoying with warming relations with Russia. We hope these relations will improve even more. We have some positive examples of this cooperation with Russia, and we understood that having this kind of system can also influence badly on relations with our Eastern partners, and we did not want that, of course.
If we could, I guess, yeah, maybe talk a little bit more about how Polish-Russian relations have been developing the past couple of years. I know after, say, the really tragic plane crash, that there seemed to be some slight improvement. If we could maybe talk a little bit more about the Polish view of that, and I guess how they see that developing, if there is a plan or a strategy, how exactly they propose to follow through on that. Because I do think from the American perspective, it's the extent to which kind of the Polish and American views on the reset or on the appropriate way to deal with Russia, I think they've been a bit exaggerated. Because as best I can tell, there has been a pretty significant improvement in how the Polish-Russian bilateral relationship, and that's kind of actually preceded to a certain extent some of the improvements we saw with the reset.
Well, of course, the tragic crash in Smolensk became a kind of catalyst of our relations, and after this crash, we can think and even talk about something which can be a great new opening in Polish-Russian relations. Of course, we are still facing some problems, but those problems are mainly based on economical things, and they are aimed at the single companies in Poland who are willing to export something to Russia. However, generally speaking, the relations with Russia have improved, but mainly because of two things. One is that we have a special commission on hard topics with Russians, and this commission is meeting very often, and they are really willing and they are really aimed at solving problematic issues. And most of our problematic issues concerns the history of the two nations. Those are mostly discussions among historians. However, those discussions would not be possible without permission and the green light from the Kremlin. From that we expect and we see that Russians are also, they also want to improve relations with Poland. Secondly, relations with between Poland and Russia became warmer when Russians understood that we are extremely influential member of the European Union, and they cannot talk only with Germans and French about their relations with the European Union. They also need to include in this discussion smaller members of the European Union. And this is those are main presumptions of having better relations making these relations better with Russia.
I want to maybe push just a little bit more. So I think that's all been very well said. But don't you think there's a real risk that some of this improvement could be potentially put at risk if there's a radical change in policy, as seems likely? I think the extent to which Romney's complaints about the reset, I think it's a mistake to view that purely as election posturing. I mean, if you look at the people that he has surrounding him, his Russia advisors and the people giving him foreign policy advice, I don't think that they're just posturing when they say that they oppose the reset and they think it's a really bad idea. I mean, I think they really believe that. Isn't it possible that a much more kind of aggressive American posture could potentially put at risk some of those, you know, tentative but real improvements that have taken place over the past couple of years?
Well, two things. Firstly, Polish-Russian relations are built between Poles and Russians, not between Americans, Poles, and Russians. So this is one thing. The second thing is that, Russia, especially after parliamentary elections and presidential elections, is a very easy, easy boy to be beaten, because all Europe is extremely pessimistic about Russia. All Europe is extremely confused on what Putin and Medvedev did during the parliamentary and presidential elections. And even when Angela Merkel, Chancellor of the Germany, is starting to talk about not only business but also human rights and democratization is important, and she is telling that to the Russian authorities, then the situation became really serious, and that's why Russia is so easy to be beaten. But let's be frank. I mean, Russia is not a threat. This is a country which has a long 20 years old history of not having successes, and we shouldn't be afraid of Russia. We should be afraid of what will be Russia if rapid change will occur in Russia. We should be afraid what would happen if current authorities in Russia and current president and prime minister and the ministers would be changed with people who have no influence in special forces, who have no influence in army, who have no influence in regions in Russia. And what will happen then? I mean, that's the real problem of relations with Russia. And not that that Russia is not democratic. Russia is not democratic from at least 70 years. And the only difference is that for the last 20 years or 30 years, we can talk with Russia, and we were able to agree on several points with Russia. We as the Western world, and that's what is good. I mean, from my point of view, the real problem is how China will react and what China will do and how China will reform itself and how China will face and will solve the social problems which will occur in China. And this is the problem which can be really scary for the world economy and also for the U.S.
Well, it's interesting to hear. I mean, I'm frankly, I guess, glad to hear that the threat, which again I think is completely exaggerated, that Russia poses, is viewed somewhat, I don't know, positively or optimistically, I guess, in Poland and in that part of the world. But I guess I just want to make the note that I don't think that, look, it's an election. Romney's going to say a couple of things that he thinks are going to play well that he might not really believe. But I think that the kind of the hostility that the current Russian system and that I guess even almost, the entire country engenders among certain parts of the American elite is really pretty hard to exaggerate. And I think it's good to hear that it's not viewed in kind of narrow terms of military threat or anything like that. But I think over here it very frequently is. And so it's always interesting to hear kind of the discrepancy between what Americans say, other people think, and other countries think, and how they view it, and how often people in those very same countries do. Because, you know, one of Romney's recurring themes that he's, and not just in the context of Poland, other countries as well, but one of the recurring themes that he's hit in all of his foreign policy addresses is Obama's weakness and Obama's accommodation, and this has put countries at risk, and they're at threat from all these other hostile countries. And I guess it's comforting to hear that, you know, that kind of simplistic view is not necessarily shared in other countries as well. I guess if we could talk maybe a little bit, and this is a very different topic than what we were just discussing, but you know, Romney also stressed kind of the Polish support for American, I guess, military involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. If we could talk maybe a little bit about, I guess, particularly Afghanistan, because that is now starting to wind down. I know some of these troops that were surged in by Obama have started to withdraw. If we could talk a little bit about how Poland actually views that, how they see their role in Afghanistan, to what extent they really think it's important. I think it's actually kind of surprising how little attention the kind of Afghan war has gotten in the U.S. campaign so far, but it's still a really big deal, obviously. So if we could talk a little bit about the Polish view of how things, like their, how they see their view role there, and how they think things ought to develop over the next couple of years.
I mean, the biggest, we joined to Afghanistan coalition because of the Article 5 of the NATO treaty. We wanted to simply to help, and wanted to show that NATO can stand together and can create army and can be effective in the foreign missions. And I think this has been done and this has been achieved. However, we understand that being all the time for all those years in Afghanistan and scheduling our presence for next years is not the most wise thing we can do. Poles are have their own schedule of withdrawing from Afghanistan. We are keeping we are sticking to this schedule, and we want to change our presence and transform our presence there from the military presence to provide some development aid and some technical and training support for the Afghan army and then the Afghan police structures. So this is our vision of the future of Poland in Afghanistan. And of course, the missions in Iraq and Afghanistan, they helped our army in terms of transforming itself, in terms of being proved in the battlefield, and in terms of changing some aspects of our own training in the army. They also improved equipment, and thanks to these missions, some of our troops have the most modern equipment which is used and which is needed on this kind of missions. But again, also these missions showed that we cannot expect too much from Americans. We wanted to profit somehow economically from the mission in Iraq. However, this was not done, unfortunately. Also, we really wanted to develop economic relations with in Afghanistan. We have a lot of experience in building infrastructure, and we can be helpful in this. However, still, we think that this kind of support and this presence on this kind of mission is a very important factor of showing that NATO can be united and can act as a real military power, not only diplomatic power.
So it would be accurate to say, from if I understand you accurately, that Poland did not. Wasn't chastened by these. They didn't, their lessons that they took away from their involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq were broadly positive in the sense that this demonstrates the capabilities of NATO. Because I think certainly certain parts of defense analysts in the U.S. would say that, the experience in Afghanistan, which has been pretty mixed so far in terms of the actual track record of how the war's gone, shows that NATO isn't working as it's supposed to, that it needs a lot of changes, and that there needs to be, a real effort to kind of boost the participation by other, European allies. But if I'm hearing you, it sounds like the lessons that you took away were like maybe not that. They were slightly more positive, that this is how things ought to work, and this was a relatively well done,
I'm not talking about other parts of this mission. I'm talking about the Polish part and how we feel that why we joined Afghanistan, and we are of course aware of technical and structural issues in this mission, And we think that improving these problems would not be possible without being present in this mission. I mean, now we can talk what NATO should change inside as a practitioners, because we know what are the real problems which are emerging from not having dynamic structures without proper command. So what I'm talking about is only the Polish experience on this, and not the whole mission itself as such.
So I know we're I guess almost out of time here. I just wanted to briefly, I guess, talk a little bit. So on the subject of NATO, I guess Poland's view or how you see the future of the alliance, I guess in some general sense, and also I guess particularly in terms of NATO expansion. Do you think that this is a real priority that needs to be pursued? It's kind of, it seems to have been put on the back burner for a while. Do you think that this is something that ought to be brought forward, that, for example, I don't know, Georgia, potential Georgian membership in NATO is something that, you know, ought to kind of get back on the agenda list? Or, you know, do you think that the way that the alliance in general has functioned over the past several years is basically okay? There's nothing that really needs to change dramatically about it.
Well, Georgia itself is a complicated question. I mean, the whole Western world gave a lot of credit to Mr. Saakashvili, and now we really face some problems, and we're still thinking whether we can name Georgia as a democratic country or not, or the country in the transformation, and what is the future and in which direction this government is heading, and the president of Georgia. And I think definitely NATO should keep its door open for all countries which are eligible to join NATO, and especially in that countries like Georgia, Ukraine, who are crucial for the European security.
Great. Well, I think that's about all that I have. I really appreciate the chance to speak with you today. It was certainly good to get another perspective on some of these things, one that is sadly not heard as frequently over in the States as I think it really ought to be. I think obviously a lot of your points are very well received and very well taken, but I think frankly to a lot of Americans they sound pretty radical. I think if a presidential candidate running for Congress tried to make some of those points, they would face quite a lot of pushback, because the entire prism through which we view kind of foreign relations and stuff over here is frequently very different.
Well, I understand that, but I also understand that, you know, discussing from your perspective of the country who is on the other side of the earth and is, you know, at least 11 times bigger than Poland, has some different this is quite normal to have different accents on different issues, and from your perspective some of my points could not be understandable or are not as important as general points, but again that's probably the problem and the bigger issue in the central Eastern Europe, that we are far from assessing in general terms, and we are always having a lot of details which have occurred in the history, and we're putting these details into the future while we are shaping our policies.
Great. Well, thanks again, Wojtek. I really appreciate
it. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.